The Bible says, in all things, give thanks. In Psalms 105, verse 1, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. In Psalm 106, verse 1, it says, praise the Lord. Give thanks unto the Lord. For He is good. His mercy endures forever. Last summer, when we were doing the youth, one night I asked the teens, what are you thankful for? And here's a list of some of the things we wrote down that the teens were thankful for. Sunshine, fishing, salvation, safety, food, shelter, clothing, good health, faith, friendship, the youth group, public school, church, freedom, homeschool, the Bible, ministers, love, missionaries. One of them even said tribulation. I think that was Johnny Smittendorf. I'm seeing him here somewhere. There he is. Good man. Tribulation, family, computer, policemen, sports, music, nature, money, the Lord. So many things that a lot of times we take for granted, especially in this country, we're spoiled rotten. We don't give thanks to the Lord for all the blessings we have. And sometimes the blessings are disguised. We think something's bad happening. But you know, you look back over that, and it's a blessing. I remember one Wednesday night for youth group, we did our dodgeball thing out in the gym, and the teens just love that. They just love beating each other to a pulp with a ball. I mean, they really whipped that thing. And after that, we came in here, and we were starting to do some singing, and a tornado went through, they say, north of the church. It got black as coal out. Wind was howling. There's a big tree out in the parking lot. It looked like it was going to fall over. Raining hard. All of a sudden, the power went out. And we could have left and said, well, so much for the evening. We can't read our Bibles, can't see them. I had planned a message, and I figured we'd get into small groups and then talk over the message afterwards. We couldn't do that. We got some candles out, though. And I asked, is there anyone here who'd like to give their testimony for the Lord? And one after another came up, these teenagers, giving their testimony how they came to Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. One after another. Bless my heart. That was so much better than the message I had planned that evening. The Lord had a different thing in mind. And afterwards, two kids come up forward, and they had some problems they wanted to discuss. We talked and shared and prayed. And we left that evening on cloud nine. It was a bad situation. Dark as coal outside. But man, it was warm in here and sunshiny. The Holy Spirit was alive. We had a great time. And a lot of things, we see the storms, but we don't see the light of Jesus Christ through them. There's a lot of things the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. It says, give thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. In all ways and all things. Ephesians, our second Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Philippians 4, verse 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say, rejoice. Does that mean in the bad times? Rejoice? Giving thanks always in the bad times? In everything, rejoice always? Doesn't sound right. I'm going to talk about a few things in my life that right off the bat you wouldn't say praise God for. One of them is, praise the Lord, I lost my job, I got laid off. Praise the Lord. You know, you usually don't say that. I got laid off from CTS. I've been there 32 years almost now. When I was a young whippersnapper right out of high school, I started there. I was working there for about a year and got laid off. Wasn't saved. Found me a job building houses with a guy. Learned a lot. I'm kind of afraid of heights. I remember in the middle of the winter, we were working on this A-frame house. It's on a real steep hill overlooking a lake. And it was scary. This A-frame house had a basement. And on top of the basement, the main floor went out over the basement and on out quite a ways. And the part of the house was on stilts. And I asked the guy that was in charge, he says, how high is this thing from the peak to the bottom there? He says, it's as high as a 5-story building. And we were working on that. It was like zero weather out, dead of winter. Snow on our planks that we walk out around, you know, was pretty scary. And I'm scared of heights. But I learned not to be as scared of heights during that time. And in the summer, I'm working for him, super hot, putting up shingles. And at the time, you know, I wasn't really that thankful for that job. Then I got back to CTS. Back on apprenticeship. A year later, I met Nancy, been dating Nancy, and we're going to get married. I got laid off again. Praise the Lord. Well, after we got married, got called back to CTS. Got laid off again. Worked at Star Machine for a little while. Got called back to work again. About 5 years later, I got laid off again. I just became a Christian at that time. And I still wasn't praising the Lord for that layoff either. And I worked at a place called Queries Tool and Die, running a lathe. Learned a lot of things. Make internal, external Acme threads. A lot of tricks to run this big lathe. Then I got called back, CTS again. Then years later, I got laid off again. I went back to Queries Tool and Die. I was going to run a lathe again. The boss says, yeah, we'll hire you. You can run a lathe. I bring all my tools into the shop. He says, you know, we changed our mind. You're not going to run a lathe. You're going to run this big boring mill we have. I didn't say a word, but I never ran a boring mill in my life. I go, oh, boy. But I was saved, and I was more mature in the Lord. I said, whatever, Lord, you're in control. I'll trust in you. I started running this huge lathe, or this big boring mill, and met a few guys that helped me how to figure out how to run this thing. And a few weeks later, I'm working 10-hour days, and Saturdays. The boss comes by 2 weeks later. He says, Gary, I got to apologize to you. I said, for what? He says, well, I heard that you never ran a boring mill. I said, well, I never had. I thought I was going to run away, you know. And he says, you're doing a super job. Keep it up. And that gave me self-confidence. And confidence in the Lord that, you know, no matter what the circumstances, I could do it. And I met some guys there, made some friends, Queries Tool and Die. One of the guys was named Russ. Nice guy. He helped me a lot, learn how to run that boring mill when I had questions. And hadn't worked there for years, and just a few years ago, met him again, invited him over to shoot some archery, and he enjoys shooting archery with me. Met another guy while I was there. He's an interesting fellow. His name was Haas. He was from Germany. He served his apprenticeship in Germany. And he liked the sauce. He liked to drink. And some days he'd come in a little snookered, a little drunk. And we had this little thing. If he came in a little drunk, I'd write a broken arrow on his calendar because he wasn't a straight arrow that day. And other days when he was doing what he should be doing, I'd draw a straight arrow on his calendar. We had a joke about that. And got to be good friends with him. And he's going to go visit his relatives back in Germany. And he worked with a lot of these guys for years and years. But he asked me to take care of his house when he was gone. What a blessing. And I'd give him, by that time I was doing a little preaching at jails, and I'd give him some preaching tapes, you know, witness to him a little bit. And we got to be good friends. I met another guy there at Queries to and Die that taught me patience and long suffering. This guy here, I was running my boring mill one day, and I'm laid off from CTS, and here comes another fellow I knew from CTS walking through the plant. The boss is escorting him around. And maybe a Christian shouldn't do this, but I see him walking around. I'm thinking, he may end up getting a job here. Lord, whatever, don't let him get a job here. Please, Lord. He's a hard guy to get along with. Everybody knows this guy. He's something else. Well, he got a job there. And guess what machine he ran? He ran my boring mill on nights. So every day, second trick, he comes in about 3 o'clock, and I have to tell him what I've been doing, and he takes over from there. And he was something else. I'll tell you just a few examples to share with you. On these boring mills, you're running these great big huge pieces of steel. They're worth thousands and thousands of dollars. And you may put a hole in one spot wrong, and you can scrap that huge piece of steel. Well, so I wouldn't scrap these pieces of steel. I'd study the print real carefully, and I'd write down all the moves I was going to make on this boring mill. So many thousands this way, so many thousands that way. Tweak it all in. What drills I was going to use, had it all written on a piece of paper. And to run this thing, you'd sit down. And I had this piece of paper hooked on with a magnet right in front of me. And I'd be pulling levers, making everything move, had digital readouts, getting everything precise. And this guy, Terry, he comes in. He says, "Why are you doing it that way? You shouldn't do it that way." Just going on and on. I told him, "Terry, I got to do it this way. This is my job, and I don't want to scrap any of this material. So I make this paper up so I know where I'm making these moves." Well, the next day he comes in. He sees that piece of paper right in front of me, and I'm running the machine, and he gets mad. He takes his cigarette lighter out and lights that piece of paper right in front of my nose. And I grab the thing, stomp on it, put it out. I said, "Why'd you do that?" He says, "I told you, don't be doing it that way." And I told him, "Hey, this is my job. I don't want to lose it. I don't want to make mistakes. This is what I got to do." And really, it wasn't anything to him. He can do what he wants on second track. He just give me a hard time. So the next morning I come in, checked his work, some holes in the wrong spot. I was able to get the boss, and between him and I, we were able to move things around so we didn't scrap the piece. Well, that kind of cut him down a notch a little bit. He wasn't as cocky for a while. And then he'd come in and grump and say, "Hey, you didn't clean this machine good enough when I come here." I said, "No problem." So every day I took special time to clean that machine spotless so he'd have no complaints. Lord's teaching me patience. Another day I come in and my toolbox on a shelf, and there's some windows kind of above my toolboxes. I come in and my toolbox lid's all smashed in. I think, what in the world happened to my toolbox? And a few days went by, and I finally asked Terry, "Do you happen to know what happened to my toolbox?" "Oh, that cheap piece of," and he did a few cuss words. He said, "I was standing on it, trying to open that window, and it caved in." I said, "Well, whatever. Lord's teaching me patience." My buddy Haas, he sees what's going on, and he says, "You know, he's lucky that isn't me." He said, "See that window out there?" He said, "He'd be outside that window 6 foot under." But in all things, give thanks. I know another time, I had a nice Cool Whip container full of cookies. Nancy made these cookies, and Nancy's a good cook. Oatmeal cookies, fresh ones. I'd been eating on them that day. Terry comes in. I said, "Hey, my wife baked some cookies, and I want you to have the rest of these. I didn't eat them all." He grabs one out of the Cool-Up container, takes a few bites, says, "These cookies taste like..." Meh. Cuss word again. I said, "Well, they tasted good to me." But things like that went on and on. And only with the Lord's help, I was able to handle that situation. The old flesh would have liked to tore into him. But the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, happiness, meekness, self-control. Without the Lord's help, one day I'll handle it. So he gave me a challenge. And you know, Terry, I found out, died in a car accident. And I don't know where he is today. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Yeah, Terry, you might consider, most people consider an enemy. But you know, when they come to Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior, changes them from an enemy to a brother or a sister in Christ. I don't know. Hopefully, he got right with Jesus Christ. I don't know. But through these layoffs, I learned how to build houses. So when I have things at home to work on, I know how to do them. I learned at Labor Pumps when I got laid off, ran a big OD grinder. I learned how to grind pump shafts. When I worked at Query's Tool and Die, I learned how to run lathes, different types of tricks to run lathes that I wanted to have at CTS. I learned how to run the big boring mill. I learned how to make up special setups in these boring mills. And out of all that, gave me self-confidence in my job and confidence that the Lord is always there. No matter what situation, I can lean on Him. Sometimes, the Lord has to kind of kick us out, like at CTS, He kind of kicked me out of there on these layoffs. Otherwise, I'd been there the whole time. I would have missed out on all the friends, all the experiences. Sometimes He kicks us out of our safety zones to help us grow, to learn, mature, and also to witness to other people. So some of these times that we say, "How can I give thanks?" We can look back and see how the Lord blessed through these things, how we learned. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, "Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct thy paths." Praise God for the layoff. Injuries. People that know me know I've had my share of injuries. Praise the Lord. I've had 2 rotator cuff surgeries, 2 hernia surgeries, gallbladder surgery, knee surgery, eye surgery. Had all kinds of surgeries. In all things, give thanks. Praise the Lord, I got in a car accident, tore my rotator cuff. Messed up my hand. It's hard to do. But I can look back on those times. During that time, I had a good friend of mine named Gordon. Good old hunting buddy. We'd always buy the same bows, the same arrows, the same shotguns. We'd always do things together. During hunting season, we called each other every night, comparing notes and what you seen, what you shot. Helped each other track the deer. At that same time, he was dying. He had a brain tumor on his brain stem. And I was off because of my rotator cuff surgery. What a blessed time. I had time to spend with my buddy Gordon. I'd go over there and read the Bible to him. I'd go over there and read the daily bread to him. We'd talk, we'd share. If it wasn't for the layoff or the rotator cuff surgery and being off because of that, I wouldn't have had that precious time with Gordon. And eventually, I did his funeral. He wanted me to preach the Bible. Preach the gospel at his funeral. What a blessed time. And I know where he's at. He's in heaven. And at that same time, I was off because of rotator cuff surgery. At the same time, a good friend from this church, his health had dwindled. Old Napoleon. Solid man in Christ. When his wife died, he was busy making cookies for the church. He's always helping, always an encouragement to others. But his health got so bad, he had to be in a nursing home. And during this time of being off for rotator cuff surgery, Nancy and I would go visit him in a nursing home. His body was just falling apart, but his mind was still there. And we'd take some daily breads, Bible tracts to him in the nursing home, and he'd just light up. Because he knew people he wanted to share those with. People he wanted to witness to. He'd tell me, I don't know why the Lord's keeping me down here so long. But I'd tell him, hey, I know why. These people here need to hear the word. You're the missionary in the nursing home. Never complaining. Always steadfast for Jesus Christ. What a blessed time. We'd go there to encourage him, but we'd leave there encouraged by him. Same time, we'd go walking at the mall in the morning, just get some exercise. Met some people there at the mall. Met an old retired school teacher named Tom. Got to be good friends. I'd go down to his house. He came to our house. Give him some Bible tapes now and then. Still keep in contact. He was here at the Wild Game Banquet the other night. Another guy I met, I seen walking through the mall. He had dark glasses on, a hat, a trench coat. I said, that guy looks familiar. It was Tyrone Willingham, kind of hiding around the mall. And I went right up to him and talked to him a little bit. Told him I really never liked football. I told him I wasn't built for football. But I told him I had a CD I wanted to give him. The Bible versus the Quran. It explained how the Bible varies with our Bible varies with the Quran. I gave it to him. Planted some seed there, I hope. And also, with all these aches and pains and surgeries, the Lord gave me a doctor's ministry. I gave out a bunch of CDs and tapes to a lot of doctors. A lot of times, if you go knock on a doctor's house at home, he probably wouldn't want to talk to you. But when you're in his office, you can talk to him. You're paying him. And so I'd witness to him, give him tapes, CDs. I remember another time I had surgery. I was in the hospital 3 days. I was in pain. But I can look back on that time. Praise the Lord. There's a couple student nurses came in the room and they said, Mr. Gaskell, for our schooling, we have to go around the hospital and ask different people what they think of death. I said, come on in. Let's talk. So, gave my whole testimony. Told them about Jesus Christ. They weren't right with the Lord, so I gave them some Bible tracts and daily bread. And there was a kid in a bed right beside me in the same room. He's probably about a 12-year-old kid named Jason. And I really didn't talk to him a whole lot. He was a real quiet kid. He was in pain. He'd ruptured his spleen. And I didn't know if I made any impact on this kid or not. You know, he never talked much. But before he left, his mom says, I want your name, telephone number, your address. Jason wants to come visit you. And they lived in Howell, Indiana. I don't know how far away that is, but it wasn't real close. So maybe about 4 months later, Jason came up to visit. Praise the Lord. In all things, give thanks. I've been telling you about a lot of bad things in my life. I want to tell you at least one good thing. It was getting to be our 25th wedding anniversary in the year 2000. Our wedding anniversary is July 26th. And Nancy likes to travel. I don't like to travel. And she loves to go to Scotland. That's her favorite place, going to Scotland. And about 3 months before our wedding anniversary, the boss came to me. He says, Gary, we need to send you to go work on some machinery for 2 weeks. Guess where that place was? Scotland. 2 days after our wedding anniversary, the Lord sent us to Scotland for 2 weeks. I had to work there. It was a great time. I took a lot of tapes, daily breads. I figured, hey, might as well do some missionary work while we're there. And had a great time. And the little town we were in, after 5 o'clock, the town just closed down. It was weird. Nothing like around here. No malls, no nothing. And what people did is they'd take their dogs out after 5 o'clock and walk them in the parks, beautiful parks there along the river. We'd walk every night. And what a place to witness. I found out all I'd have to do when I'm passing somebody is say, howdy, how you doing? And they, oh, you must be from the United States. And they'd want to talk to you. So we'd talk, and I'd compliment them on how nice dog they had. And we took some of our dog pictures, because we used to have a kennel, raised dogs, and we'd click with them. And before we'd leave, I'd give them a tape, daily breads, whatever. I had a special pair of pants that had extra pockets in it, so I could really stash it full of stuff. And we'd hit them. We'd hit them with the gospel. One night, I remember, we were hunting for a church. There was a church right across the hotel from our hotel, and it looked like a church that preached the gospel because they advertised a Wednesday night service, a Sunday morning service, you know. And we went there on a Wednesday night, and there was only one guy there at church, and he said, well, church is closed today because of some holiday. And he was one of the deacons in the church. We were talking with him, and he says, you know, if you come to church Sunday, after church we'll have you over to our house for lunch. Said, okay. So we went to church there. They preached the gospel. They took us to their house, fixed us a fabulous lunch, then they took us out all afternoon sightseeing. Oh, how the Lord blessed. And then that following Tuesday, the women from the church picked Nancy up, took her out for lunch, took her out sightseeing. What a blessed time. Then another time we're walking down the road and along the town, along the stores in the evening. And this elderly couple were walking, they had a baby carriage, pushing this baby carriage. We talked to them for a while, and they invited us to their house. And Nancy went there while I was at work. She went over there talking to them. And Nancy told them I did a little preaching. Well, the elderly man, he was an atheist, never went to church. And so we went over to their house that evening, and he had a whole bunch of questions for me. And I bet we spent 3 hours. And every question I answered from the Word of God. I gave him some tapes, gave him this book, More Than a Carpenter, written by Josh McDowell. Josh McDowell was trying to prove the Bible was wrong. And he started reading the Bible and he got saved. Then he wrote the book, More Than a Carpenter. So I gave that book to him. And before we left, he says, you know, we're going to try church Sunday. Praise the Lord. What an awesome time. Blessings after blessings. And then the night before we were going to have to come back home, I was telling Nancy, I still have a few tapes. I had taken like 40 over there, and I still had maybe 5 of them or 8 of them left. I want to get them out. Get the gospel out. So I prayed about it. And we walked down by the river that night. Started talking to this old fella. Found out he's a Christian, on fire for the Lord. I told him I had these tapes that I don't know what to do with. He says, I'll take them and make copies. He lived, you know, in another town right across the river from us. So maybe the gospel is going to be carried across the river to a little town called Blantyre. So the Lord blessed over and abundantly. And then that fall, November 15th, day I'll never forget, day my mom died. November 15th, in all things, give thanks. And November 15th, to a lot of people, probably doesn't mean anything. But for me, since I was a young kid, November 15th was a highlight. November 15th was opening day of gun season. To me, it's unique. It's a day, you know, the Lord knows I have a hard time remembering dates, times. I don't remember people's birthdays. I don't remember what I did 2 weeks ago. But it seems like my mom died on a special day that I wouldn't forget. And 20 days after that, my dad died. 6 days after that, my aunt died. In all things, to thanks. My mom, I knew my dad was going to die. He had Alzheimer's. It was a sad situation. He was a man that was always in control. He was a stocky, built fellow, weighed about 185 pounds. Dying of Alzheimer's. He's down about 85 pounds, wearing diapers, feeding him with a spoon like a baby in a nursing home. I could hardly take going there. My mom would visit him every day. She seemed to be in real good health. But she had a secret she wasn't telling any of us. She had heart troubles. She went in, had some surgery done on her heart and some stents put in and seemed to be doing real good. She's back there driving her car every day to the nursing home. Then weeks later, she had to go back in the hospital. They thought she had diverticulitis, some problems with her intestines. So she goes in. They open her up. She's full of cancer, ovarian cancer. My brother, sisters, and I were all in the room when they told my mom she probably wouldn't make it. You know what she said? Whatever the Lord's will is, she was physically about gone, but a spiritual giant, standing for Christ. Whatever the Lord's will is. And I remember she only lived a few weeks after that. They gave her chemo, real strong dosages, and I think that's just what finished her off. And it was probably a blessing. I remember the Sunday, she died on a Wednesday. The Sunday before she died, she had a great day at the hospital. All the friends and relatives came to see her. She was perky, she was talking. Blessed time. The next day, went there to see her. She was so weak she couldn't talk. I walk in the room, she can't talk. But she gave me a big smile. Clear to the end, she was smiling. That Wednesday, she died, November 15th. Like I say, before she died, she said, "Gary, will you preach at my funeral? There's a lot of friends and relatives that don't know Jesus. You tell them about Jesus." So I preached Jesus. 20 days later, my dad died. I played my accordion, said a few things, but I didn't preach because 20 days earlier, everybody heard the gospel, same group of people. Then 6 days later, I get a call from one of my cousins. My aunt died. He's crying on the phone, "Gary, my mom's died. Will you preach her funeral?" See, that side of the family weren't churchgoers. They didn't know who to preach her funeral. But sure. Through my mom's death, it only took a spark to get a fire going because I preached the day after my mom's funeral and at the jail, and three guys got saved. Then I was able to preach at my aunt's funeral to a lot of people who don't know Jesus, and I preached the gospel there. And a week after I preached my aunt's funeral, I got to lead my uncle to Jesus Christ. Then 3 years later, I get a call. Lady I never knew. Says, "My husband's dying of Alzheimer's. I want you to preach his funeral just like you did your mom. I want you to preach the Bible at my husband's funeral." So I did, to another group of people. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord in all things. Give thanks. The Bible says in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 54, it says, "So then this corruptible body shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, and then shall be brought unto pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." But thanks be to God. Revelation chapter 21, verse 4. Jesus gives us hope. "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, no more crying, neither shall be there any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Praise the Lord. "In all things give thanks." Yeah, my mom and dad led a great life. They're gone. They're in heaven. We're all going to die someday. Praise the Lord, I know where they're at. Praise the Lord, I know where I'm going. I'm going to see them someday. I've been going to the jail for about 14 years preaching the Word. Meet a lot of people. Seen a lot of people come to Jesus, to jail. And I want to share a few letters I got from a guy from jail, a guy that came to Christ. There was a guy named Wayne. First time I ever met Wayne, he had straggly long blonde hair, scuzzy beard, looked like he never took a bath. And I preached that night there. He came to the service. After service, he came up forward, accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior. And I led him through the sinner's prayer. I never heard anybody beller it out as loud as he did. You could probably hear it through the whole jail. He said, "Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know there's no way to heaven on my own. Come into my heart to be my Lord, be my Savior. I want to live for you." Beller that out. And Jesus Christ came into his heart, forgave him of his sin. That was in September at the Cass County Jail. Here's a letter I got from him in December. Been saved for like 3 months. "Dear Gary, I would like to thank you so much for your support. You've really been a help to me. No matter what my future holds, I will serve God for the rest of my life. You know, just a short time ago, I was ready to end my life. I have lost my wife and hurt so many people. But now that Jesus is in my heart, I feel like a new person. I still hurt when I think about my wife. But if I wait on the Lord, I'm sure He will take care of things. Again, thank you for telling me about Jesus and your prayers and your calls to my wife and your Christmas card, your Bible tracts. I hope to see you again soon, hopefully in the free world. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, in Christian love, Wayne." Here's a year later. Wayne got sent up to Jackson Prison for 7 years. He'd been doing drugs since he was 17. He was 27 at the time. A year later at Jackson Prison. "How are things with you?" "I'm doing good. I just want to let you know that I'm still alive. And I still love the Lord with all my heart. I'm happy with my life. It's been a real blessing coming here." Here's a man in Jackson Prison. "It's a real blessing coming here," he says. "The Lord has opened up my eyes. I really feel His love flowing through my veins. I wouldn't give up all I've been through for nothing in the world. I'm free. No matter where I'm at. And that's a real good feeling." you take care and keep me in your prayers, will you? Friend in Christ, Wayne. In all things, give thanks. Even through the sad times. Even through the bad times. Wayne's life was completely changed. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Not part, all. In everything, give thanks. Romans 8:26. For all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4, verse 7. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, we can have. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. Says, the trials of our faith refine us like fine gold. Praise God. In all things. Give thanks. Do your trials bring you closer to the Lord? Or are you shaking your fist at Him and being mad? Are the trials bringing you closer? It's a choice that you make. It can make you stronger spiritually or make you weaker spiritually. It's your choice. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Took me 25 years before I got saved. I used to go to church all my life. My mom dragged me to church. I hated going to church. I hid in the Sunday school. I hid in the bathrooms during Sunday school class because I didn't want to go to Sunday school class. Teachers would make me read out loud. I was a poor reader, a poor speaker. I'd have to go to special reading classes, special speech classes. That's why I hated going to Sunday school class, because they made me read out loud in front of everybody and embarrass me. So I'd hide in the restroom. My mom never found out until I was preaching one day and mentioned that. And she also wanted me to become a member of the church. Go to membership classes. I said, I'm not going to become a member of the church. My dad would drive me, he was a policeman, he'd drive me by the squad car to the church door, made me go to the membership classes. I flunked. I was the only one that flunked. I sat there and doodled. Never listened to what the pastor had to say. I flunked. A flunked church. But you know, I always thought the good would outweigh the bad. I always compared myself to other people. I always thought I was better than them. I wasn't drinking, smoking, cussing. I'd help my neighbor. Found out it didn't cut it at all. I was on my way to hell. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, it says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works. At least any man should boast. I had pride. I didn't think I needed Jesus, but I did. When I was 25 years old, I realized the good does not outweigh the bad. Heaven isn't heaven if there's any sin allowed in heaven. One sin in your life keeps you out of heaven. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Our righteousness is but filthy rags. I remember 1979, it was August, September, I'm not sure the exact date. It was kind of hot. I went out to the barn that I had built, an old cement block barn, had chickens in it. And I knelt down in the doorway of that barn facing the stars. And I asked Jesus Christ in my heart to be my Lord, be my Savior. And a kid that flunked church started hunting for a church. I came to this church. The guy told me about this church when it was in a house down the road. First time I went there, I thought, man, this is a neat place. Everybody's toting Bibles. Where I used to go to the church, the only one who had a Bible was a pastor, and he didn't seem to use it. I never heard the plan of salvation, never heard about being right, being saved, being born again. Started coming to that church, growing in the Lord. The Lord changed my life. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. They asked me if I teach Sunday school. Started teaching Sunday school. Didn't know much about it, but they gave me the lesson book. I grew more than the kids did because I wanted to make sure them kids knew what the Word of God said. Then we started working with the youth. Our youth pastor had to quit because his dad was dying of cancer. And we took over the youth. We've been doing youth for like 17 years. We've been going to jail for about 14 years. And I'm not telling you all this to say, look at Gary, goody two shoes. I'm telling you this because Jesus changed the kid's life that used to hide in the restrooms of the church. The kid that hated to be in front of everybody and read out loud. The kid that went to special speech classes, reading classes. The Lord changed him. It has nothing to do with me. The Lord changed him. Where are you tonight? The Lord is knocking on the heart, on your heart today. Revelation 3:20, the Lord says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open that door, I will come into him." Do you know for sure you're on your way to heaven? You may know. Where do you stand? The only true victory, the only true peace, through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Giving thanks always for all things." We're going to close here in a minute with a song called "The Altar." Very special song. I asked Scott to sing it. Listen to the words. It's a time, if you don't know Jesus Christ, come to the altar. Come up front. Come to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ says in Matthew 10:32 and 10:33, "If you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father which is in heaven. If you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father which is in heaven." One thing, one sin that can keep you from coming forward is a sin of pride. Satan uses that tool all the time. What will people think? He uses it all the time at the jails. I know one guy came forward after the message to get right with God. And he says, "Man, it was rough coming up here. I didn't know what everybody would think." And he says, "I decided to make that stand and come up for Jesus." And he says, "When I was starting to get up, the guy next to me grabbed me and said, 'Sit down!' Satan had his last tug. Where are you tonight? Maybe you've been going to church all your life. Been playing church. You fooled a lot of people. Lord knows your heart. Time to stop playing games. Time to get right with Jesus. Let's follow in a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord, that you're so good. Thank you, Lord, that we can give thanks in all things. Help us, Lord, for you. If there's anyone here tonight who doesn't know for sure they're on their way to heaven, tug on their heart now. Have them come as the song is played, as Scott sings it. Have them come. Time to do business. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand while Scott comes up.
Just as I am, without one thing, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou didst me come to thee, O Lamb of God.
Some are finding mercy, forgiveness for their sins. Some are fighting battles, they're struggling to win. time has come. Give them to the Lord. That's what this altar is for. That's what this altar is for. You don't have to carry those burdens anymore. There's a light in the darkness. There's a love that's true. Jesus is waiting. He is waiting here. That's what this altar is for. Father is praying with his son. Mother kneels beside them, thanking God they've come. An old man standing there in giving up a part of him that he held back for years. Hearts are being broken, lives are being changed. Those who call upon him, they will never be the same. Time has come to give in to the Lord. That's what this altar is for. That's what this altar is for. You don't have to carry those burdens anymore. There's a light in the darkness. There's a love that's true. Jesus is waiting, he is waiting here for you. Come quickly now, before they close the door. That's what this altar is for. That's what this altar is for. Carry those burdens anymore. There's a light in the darkness. There's a love that's true. Jesus is waiting. He is waiting here for you. Quickly now, before they close the door. That's what this altar is for.
What closing was that? Thank you, kind Heavenly Father, that you loved us so much. You came down and died on the cross for each and every one of us here today. If there's anyone here that's not for sure, they're on their way to heaven. Tug on their heart. We're not guaranteed our next breath. Today could be the last day. Would we be in heaven? Or would we be in hell? There's no middle of the road. There's no purgatory. And those that are Christian, tug on our hearts. We represent you. This week, we represent you at school, in the workplaces. It's an awesome responsibility. We need to live it, not just talk it. Thank you, Lord, for your word, your love. And thank you, Lord, that we can give thanks in all things. We can rejoice always in you. Because we know that someday there will be no more sorrow, no more sickness, no more tears, no more pain. The former things will be passed away, and all things will be new. Let us leave here rejoicing in you. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well,
great to hear what God's doing in Gary's life. And the songwriter said what he's done, what God's done for others, he can do for you. That's not a secret. And I trust if you have a need that you'll make it known so that we can pray with you. Well, tonight come prepared for a personal testimony of your faith in Christ, how you came to know the Lord, 2 minutes or less, okay? And we have communion tonight, and the church should be here, so please join us so that you can be part. We're going to join our voices in closing with acknowledging He is Lord.
He is Lord, He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Thank you. The Lord bless you. See you tonight.